What's up, guys? I'm Garrett, and this is the MMA Rundown brought to you by FanDuel. We're going to talk about one topic for a few minutes and then move on to the next one. Today, I'm joined by former Season 18 Ultimate Fighter Champion, Chris Holds It Down Holdsworth.
What's up? Let's go.
Let's go. All right, first topic we have up. Chris, we have to recap. Vitor Belfort fought this past weekend along with Anderson Silva, co-main and main event. Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz. Let's start with this one. This one, Chris, did you catch the fight?
I saw, well, it was highlights. You know, it was a short fight. Yeah. I didn't get to watch it live, but I caught it right after it happened. It was all over social media. And, you know, the first round looked like Tito came forward like Tito does, super aggressive. But Anderson being the, you know, experienced boxer that he is, he just played the bob and weave. Just played the little bob and weave, slipping all his shots, and then just slipped one perfectly, or and just came back up with one of those perfect landed right hands. Then he landed those left hooks on the way down, and that was a vicious knockout.
Yeah, it was kind of like he was crouching in like a weird stance, and the way Silva was doing it was like a little slower.
It's called the rope and dope.
Right. And Tito was like kind of getting lulled to sleep by Silva's slow movements and throwing like these slow, lazy hooks, and then, you know, kept his chin up, and that right hook by Silva just landed just on the money. And a lot of people think in the replay that it's like Silva followed up with a double left hook as he was stunned. But I looked at the highlights. It doesn't even look like those ones landed.
I think one of them maybe landed, but that second one didn't look like it landed.
It's almost like that because when he hit the canvas, he was unconscious. He was out cold. So I think that first one put him to sleep, that first shot, and he was already like going
probably.
The other one like skinned him. So that was crazy. You and I both picked Anderson Silva in this matchup. You know, we thought that'd be the end result. I thought it might be a longer played out fight. You know, I even thought it had a chance to go into decision. I didn't think it was going to be a knockout because Tito has that, you know, 28-pound head that I thought he might be able to take some shots and keep it going. But it was a domination, as should be if the skill level is that big apart. So two questions for you, Chris. What's next for Tito? What's next for Anderson?
I think Tito's some time off for sure. That's what's next for him. Yeah. After getting knocked out like that, you definitely don't want to be training too hard.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. So I think Anderson needs to fight Jake Paul. I think I want to see that now. After those last two boxing fights, you know, Anderson has been a part of. You know, the first fight with Chavez. looked great. His boxing looked great, and then his knockout over Tito. And Anderson actually, you know, he's an MMA fighter who was a master striker. Yeah. He was known for his Muay Thai, his clinch work. But I knew from day one, because I was a huge Anderson Silva fan, he was a really good boxer, and he would train with Freddie Roach and all those guys at Wild Card. And I saw him do the exact same rope-a-dope he did in the Tito fight in a sparring video on YouTube years ago at Wild Card. So that's why I was like, oh, man, Anderson actually knows how to box, because you don't do that unless you know how to box. You know how to weave, how to bob, how to play that type of game, and just come up with those shots. Once you make him miss, you come up with those counters. I would like to see him fight Jake Paul. I don't think Jake Paul wants to fight somebody like Anderson Silva. He knows Anderson's probably not going to put too much into the buildup of the fight, the trash talking. And, you know, I think Jake likes the whole, you know, getting people involved that, for one, buildup fights really good so he can get more money, more eyes on. And for two, that he has more confidence in beating. I don't think his confidence will be at an all-time high fighting Anderson Silva, because Anderson Silva is Anderson Silva.
Yeah,
And he's seen what he's done these last two fights and what he's done in his career, and he's like, maybe not. Maybe I won't mess with Anderson. So that's what I want to see. If he doesn't fight Jake Paul, let's keep having him make money in this boxing world. I love seeing guys like him who were kind of on their way out in MMA who we're going that route, and then they come back and reemerge themselves in boxing, making probably even more money than they were making in the MMA world. I love it. I've always been an Anderson Silva fan, and you know, it's cool to see him get these boxing wins.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good call for both. Tito should take a break, or I think he should hang him up. I think it's time. He had a comeback fight against Chuck, and we know he got the knockout win, which was, you know, tough to see in its own right. And now he comes back and gets KO'd by Silva. I know it's tempting because he does have a big name in combat sports, and he could probably be on the undercard and make a couple hundred grand off a fight, and the money's there. I don't know his financial situation or what it may be. I know he's going to get a good bag for this co-main event. So it's hard to say what he should really do, but I think he should probably hang it up if I'm thinking for his health. Anderson on the other side, it was so hard for me to see his last fight in the UFC. He comes into boxing. I was a little reluctant and worried, to be honest, because I was so hard to see him go on a skid outside the UFC. He looked great both fights. He did what he should have done to Tito, knocked him out if he was such levels above him. So good to see that. Excuse me. My thought is he should get right back in there. He's 46 years old, I believe. He's not getting any younger. You know, father time at any moment could just go off the cliff, and his body's not going to quite be there. So what's his window? Maybe the next 2 years he does this boxing. Maybe he's got four more fights. And so, yeah, I agree. Get back in there. He won't fight against Jake Paul because Jake Paul won't take his fight. Exactly. He's not going to build a fight. More likely to lose. It's not a big win for Jake. I think it'd be a scary fight for him. You know, I've been saying that a lot though. So
no, it's definitely gonna be a scary fight. That's why he hasn't been very vocal on calling out Anderson.
Yeah, he's definitely kept Anderson's name out of his mouth. And we'll talk about who Jake called out a little later. But to jump into the main event, Vitor Belfort wins the fight against Holyfield. Okay, now this one was a tough one to watch. Again, a first round KO. Evander Holyfield took this on short notice. He's 58 years old, about to be 59 years old. And, you know, this is something that Cody Garbrandt brought up, is that some of these longtime boxers, they look at these angles of these MMA fighters, and sometimes they throw not quite an overhand, not a straight, but it's kind of like in between. It's kind of sloppy strikes, but that work in MMA, right? And I thought Holyfield would be able to see what's coming, but he literally looked like he couldn't see that overhand right from Vitor. It just couldn't compute.
Well, there's just the age difference. It could be the age, too. It could be the speed. Like, people don't understand. That's why there's like age and weight classes. Like, weight classes, of course, because a guy who's heavier than me with the same skill set is going to beat my ass. Yeah. You know, if he knows exactly what I know, he's going to win because he's heavier and he's stronger. Same thing goes with, I think, not certain ages, but the age difference between Belfort and Holyfield. Dude, you're almost 60 years old.
I know.
You can't expect to see Vitor Belfort's right hands at almost 60 years old. I don't care how good of a boxer you were. Your speed, like, we don't know what type of injuries he's had throughout his career. Well, you know, how he's able to move, his mobility. So that was a bad choice for Holyfield to come back and fight him. You know, he was trying to, like, parade afterward and say it was an early fight. But, like, yeah, dude, you're 58 years old. Like, what do you think? The ref's just going to let you take a beating like this is a championship fight? No, the commission already let you fight. And people were talking about, like, oh, the commission shouldn't let Holyfield fight.
I agree.
You think that if you would have got punched more, it would have looked any better for the commission? Like, if you would have got hurt? I don't know, like.
No, the ref is looking out for the commission. Yeah, saying, right. Yeah, anything I see, I'm gonna.
The refs work for the commission. Yeah. The commission probably told the ref, like, "Hey, man, if Holyfield's taking a beating, let's cut it short because we don't want to get any slack for letting him fight."
Yeah, everyone wanted to see him fight, but you can't. Yeah. You know, can't get mad at them for pulling that fight. He obviously took some shots. He looked a little stunned. Yeah, he could have let it go on a little longer, but he's just going to eat three or more four punches and it's going to happen the same way.
I thought
way,
it was a good stoppage.
Yeah.
If you're not defending yourself and you're getting punched like that, like, it's done.
Yeah. Now with two first-round KOs, first-round finishes, I hope they push the matchups. I mean, a lot of people thought these would be better fights than they were, but you know, I hope we see a little bit better matchups. What about Anderson Silva versus Vitor? I know we saw that in MMA. Didn't work out for Vitor. What about a boxing match?
Will the fans want to see that?
Yeah, I don't know. No one brought that up. I don't think the fans care.
I don't really want to see that. Yeah. I really don't want to see two MMA guys versus each other. I would rather see a boxer versus an MMA guy, or maybe, you know, an older boxer versus an older MMA guy. That would be entertaining for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm also an MMA guy, so like that's what I want to see. I want to see matchups that are entertaining in my eyes and people that the fans want to see as well. Like, do you want to see Anderson
and Vitor? It's funny, though, because right when you said that, it's like, man, I don't really want to see that because I want to root for both of them to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Let's keep him up against these influencers or against these other boxing guys. So how about this? At the end of the fight, the Triller promoters were in the ring with Vitor, and they called out Jake Paul. Said, we want Vitor versus Jake Paul next. Collaboration with Showtime, Triller. And we'll put up $25 million, winner takes all.
Damn.
Main event match, winner takes all purse. And as Vitor was talking, getting all pumped up, the promoter in the back, I can see him. He's getting all pumped up. Yeah. He goes, I'll make it 30. They jumped it up from 25 million, added 5 million. Now it's 30 million to the winner. So Jake Paul said Vitor is not the guy he wants to fight. But now after you heard this $30 million pot, now what do you think? Should Jake Paul take the fight? A lot of people say the number one guy in terms of odds is Tommy Fury next. Today, Jake Paul said the next MMA fighter that I want to fight in the ring is Jorge Masvidal.
He said that, huh?
That's what he said. So he said he was talking shit. There's some bad blood. He wants to take this to the next level. That's the guy I want. But a part of me, Jorge still has two fights on his contract.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, for lack of a better term, owned by Dana White in the UFC right now. So they have to release him from that contract to take that fight. And I think it's Jake's trolling play to say, I know he can't get out of his contract. I want to mess with Dana. So I'm going to call him out as a guy I want, even though Tommy Fury is who I'm going to fight next. And yeah. And then he also said, put that $30 million in escrow, show it to my business manager, and then I'll think about taking that fight. So
what is escrow?
Escrow is just a bank account that both of you can look into, but none of you have access to. So we'll put a bank account up. You can see what's in it.
Okay.
You can't pull from it.
I didn't know that, yeah.
So he's saying, put the $30 million in a bank account to where we can see that it's in that account, and then I'll know that you guys have the money, and maybe we can do the fight. So out of those guys, Vitor, Tommy, and Masvidal, who would you like to see him fight next, and who do you think is going to actually get the fight?
Out of those three, Jake Paul, Vitor, Tommy, and Masvidal, I would want to see Masvidal just for entertainment purposes and the build-up and the trash-talking, all that stuff. I don't think that's going to happen, though, just because he's in contract with UFC, and UFC doesn't want to give any more leverage to Jake Paul and doesn't want to they don't want to smear the UFC's reputation, like, of being...
You know, can you imagine if Jake then knocks out Jorge?
Yeah, or beats him. Like, then it's going to be all bad for Dana and the UFC, in my opinion. So that's probably not going to happen. And then we talk about the other Tommy Fury. I don't care for that either. Like, I don't care. Like, Fury, what has he done? He's just, what's his name, son?
Yeah. Like, he's a boxer. He was on the undercard of Jake's last fight.
No, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. But, like, at the same time, like.
Yeah, he's.
You know,
not a big draw.
No, I didn't know about him until this.
And not a dominant boxer either. So no. It's kind of like,
yeah. So it's got to make sense. It's got to be someone who makes sense and somebody who's going to sell some pay per views. Like, and that only person I can think of is Masvidal, but I don't think that's going to happen because he's tied up with the UFC. Let's see Silva. I think that makes the most sense. Silva's probably, you know, closest to his weight too.
Yeah, I agree.
Picking on all these 170 pounders, like Jake's cutting from 200 and something pounds, man.
You're right. You're right. He is close to their weight, but I think that's part of his kind of gimmick is that he gets these lighter weight guys, and even though they're lighter weight, you know, yeah, they don't have to cut weight because they're already walking out 190. Well, he's walking out like 215. You know, he's cutting down to 195, and then he's 200 plus in that ring, right? So he works that to his advantage for sure.
Oh, look at
Tyron Woodley, 5'9", you know, walks at 190.
Masvidal would be way smaller than Jake.
Yeah.
Masvidal cuts to 170. So Masvidal probably walks around 190-ish,
yeah.
Like 5'90". And then you'll have Jake going in there probably 210. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Weight makes a difference.
Yeah, 20 pounds at that level makes a difference.
No, that's huge. So we'll see what happens. Kind of interesting that Triller just shows you the pull of Jake Paul, that they're willing to put up $30 million. That means what? They know they're going to make $100 million on that fight, and there's margin there?
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge amount
of money.
I think
anybody knows that they're going to make money on a Jake Paul fight now. They know that what kind of numbers he brings, that they're going to be able to make something off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. All right, let's move on to the next topic. We got some big drama in the space this week at the Met Gala. Conor McGregor gets into an altercation with Machine Gun Kelly. So, Chris, I'm sure you probably saw this. It's all over social media, especially all the MMA outlets that we both follow and all the MMA guys. So the story that I heard was that him and his girlfriend went up to MGK and Megan Fox and asked for a picture, that if, like, Connor's girl can take a picture with Megan Fox.
Oh, and it was Connor's girl.
I think it was Connor's girl or him. Like, they walked up as a couple asking for a picture. And this is one outlet. I read an article from one outlet, and a couple of them have a couple different stories. This one was asked for a picture, and that MGK said, nah, man, and started walking away. And then Connor started talking shit to him, yelling, talking trash. And there's a little bit of that is on video online. And then when he gets close to him, he throws his drink at him and tries to go for a punch over all these people and is like 3 feet off. Connor is. But so it was really awkward and weird. And, you know, all the security guards came in and shuffled MGK away. And like Connor was like standing there ready to fight. Like he was like ready to go. So obviously pissed him off. They interviewed Connor like 2 hours later. And he's like, hey, it's all good. He's like, they can come to a fight. So they can sit behind me. I don't care. He's like, it's all good. I only know Megan Fox. I don't even know who that other guy was. That's what Connor said. So what are your thoughts on the situation?
I think they must have some previous altercations. Maybe they've had some words with each other.
Yeah.
We both know Machine Gun Kelly and Connor are both guys who like to talk shit and stir things up a little bit, especially Connor. And I know Machine Gun's the type of guy who doesn't take anybody's shit, and he'll clap back.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's been said on Twitter, what's been said on social media before, what's been on the streets. Only thing I could imagine is if that's what's true, if Connor was asking for a picture with Megan, I can see why Machine Gun Kelly wouldn't want that to happen. Here's a couple reasons. Knowing Connor, he would have used that somehow with leverage to talk shit on Machine Gun Kelly on a post or something.
Yeah, your girl had your hand in my
exactly.
back.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of how I saw it.
I know, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, so like you can't trust a guy like Connor with pictures or with some sort of like...
He's a troll.
Yeah. So he can use that to hit his advantage. So only thing I can see, like Machine was like, nah, bro, you're not getting any ammo. Like you're not taking any pictures. Like,
yeah,
scoot on.
He was also publicly supporting Dustin Poirier in their matchup. He was at the fight, sitting behind Dustin's corner.
OMG?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, see, that's, and I guarantee you Connor saw that, and Connor knew that.
Yeah.
So he probably had a little bit of sourness and wanted to take a picture with Megan because of that. And then, come on, man.
Yeah, there's something there. There's something there.
He wanted to use that to throw up on social media and be like, hey, I got your girl, oh, hey, whatever, you know.
Like, yeah, Connor's like, I just wanted a picture with Megan Fox. I don't even know who that guy is. Yeah. He's like, oh, good. He's
smarter than that. Come on.
He knows who MGK is. Come on.
He's smarter than that.
There is something going on. Something going on for sure.
Dude, she was looking bad.
But
that
she
night,
was
bro.
Look up.
She was looking bad.
She went with the beige see-through dress.
Yeah.
With lingerie on underneath.
She's always been one of my favorites, like a little favorite crush.
Yeah, no, me too. She looked good. She's getting better with age. She's in her 30s now, and it's like she looks better than she was.
Man, all those
young 20.
Yeah, those nip tucks. I'm not saying like she's maybe. Been through any, but like at that level.
I mean, she had a kid too.
At that level, you can pay for anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like any type of size, any type of shape. Like, come on.
Look at the Kardashians.
Yeah, man. Come on, like, man. They look like Coke and Pepsi bottles. And like, that's not natural.
But whoever's helping out Megan Fox, you know. Tip to you, that was pretty incredible night. But at the end of the day, it was some good publicity for Connor. He's made all the outlets. He's wearing his little pink suit, and he wants to get back in the mix. So he said he almost feels like he can kick right now in his interview too. So it's cool to see that he's almost ready to go. Typical Connor McGregor stuff, getting in an altercation like this. We'll see how it plays out. The more people talk about it, and MGK talks about it, but all funny, good drama stuff for the industry. All right, let's move on to the next topic. I was looking forward to getting Chris's opinion on this one. Another one that's been making its rounds over the past 3 days in the MMA media is we have a former Army, U.S. military